Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Alpha Vets. Happy Tuesday. Chris, how we doing?
Super duper.
Super duper. Super duper Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's been a good day. Hope you guys had a good day. Welcome. It's still light out. It's really weird.
I know. I love it. What are you talking about?
Didn't you just say yesterday how you don't like it?
I said I don't like the time change. I didn't say nothing about the sun. I didn't say nothing about the sun. Me and the sun are homies. Okay. Yeah. It was beautiful here today. It was very nice. All the dogwood trees are blooming down south. It's beautiful. I love this time of year.
Nice.
The new year. Yeah. Love it. The real new year. It's awesome.
The real new year. Is that now?
It's coming up.
When is that?
This week.
I forget.
I think it was like March. I think it was like March 14th, something like that. I can't remember what Bo said, but I agree with him.
Oh, that's right. It was
the 14th. You know, we've discussed. I do not think the new year is on January 1st when everything is cold, dead, and dark.
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't at all.
No, they don't. But anyway, good to see you guys. Hello.
Yeah. Hello, fam. What an interesting day, Israel.
It was an interesting day. I watched that whole, almost the whole hearing. It's quite interesting. I was actually thinking about it. There's so many similarities between. Do you get the sense that all of these are just meant to wake people up?
Yes.
Like, we shouldn't be expecting any type of conviction. I wasn't with this special counsel, but at the same time, it sure reminds me a lot of Durham. Does it not?
Sure does.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I don't know. It's pretty cool. What do you think of Mr. Robert Hur?
He gives me good vibes. I like him. And we'll talk about it. There's a lot of things to unpack from that hearing today. But I like him. I didn't know until today that my man resigned yesterday from the DOJ. It's like, I'm out. And then came and testified today. So I find that very interesting. I love when he was like, yes, I'm a registered Republican. And they didn't look at Mr. Hur, will you commit to not being bubble? Shut up, you pansies.
I know, man. It's just, it's a constant back and forth. I mean, we'll get into it, but yeah. Again, it's just one of those things that show you the double standard, show you everything, show you how they operate. Another drip. But I got some interesting theories.
Good, I like theories.
We'll get into it. Yeah. We'll get some prayer going. And someone said he's deep state. Hey, I'm not going to count anything out.
Yep.
But, I mean, whatever.
We'll find out.
Happy Tuesday.
That's right. We got MAGA Mondays and now Super Duper Tuesday.
Super Duper Tuesday, MAGA Mondays, and
oh no, we'll come up for a name for Thursdays.
Yeah. Tyrannical Thursdays.
That could be every day.
Yeah, seriously. It really could be. All right. We'll get some prayer going.
All right.
And get going here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory for everything that you do in our lives, for everything that you're doing for this community, for everything that you're bringing throughout the nation as you expose evil each and every day. I just want to thank you for your constant way of teaching us individually as a collective group of what we need to strive for, to push to be more like you each and every day. And I pray against, I personally ask for your forgiveness, and I'm sure many people here can ask for your forgiveness for the bitterness that we have held on to, maybe unforgiveness in our lives that have hindered us from going through certain, the stepping into something new that is that you want for our lives. And I declare and proclaim in Jesus' name that any bitterness towards anybody, that anyone has towards anyone, that they get rid of it in Jesus' name now, so we can move into something new that you have for us. Because we know that these little things that we hold on to each and every day, that we may overlook, that we know could be a big factor in our next step with you. So we come against any unforgiveness, any bitterness, and we ask for your forgiveness for our sins, and we just ask for you to continue to help us with the Holy Spirit and guide us to push us forward. So we just thank you for that. We thank you for your grace and your love and your kindness and your mercy each and every day. And we just thank you for the opportunity to bring us together and go through the exposure and talk about you. And we just thank you for being here each and every day and just allowing us another day to be here. And we just thank you for our true president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, the one you have anointed to make America great again, to the one, the nation that we founded under you. And we want nothing more than to go back to what you have in store for us. We fell asleep at the wheel and we became very stubborn as a nation. And we want you back now. We want you back in our lives. And we know it starts with each and every one of us and our community and building that into a kingdom. So we just thank you for giving us the opportunity to build that and spread and grow in your name, in Jesus' name. So we thank you for that. We just thank you for the protection that you continue to put over all of us, everyone here, anyone who comes across this. And we just thank you for all the newcomers to Alpha Vets, that they just have peace and can have fun and just enjoy each other's company on these shows. And we just thank you for giving the opportunity for me and Chris to just sit here and talk about all the stuff going on and just praise you each and every day. So we just continue to thank you for guiding us and building us in you, building our character, and just building us towards being a better nation and a better group of people. So we just want to continue. We never want you to go anywhere. We never want you to stop pursuing us. We know that you won't stop pursuing us. And we just give you all the glory and honor for everything that you do for us. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Ah, yeah, amen. Bitterness, not good. Not good.
Check something.
What? Where did he go? Ladies and gentlemen. What happened to Israel? Can't hear you.
I'm not wired in.
What?
No. Nope.
I'm glad you figured it out now.
I was wondering why it was kind of... Well, I can't do it now. It'll knock me out.
Really?
Probably. I don't know. I could try. See what happens. I mean, I don't think it would end the stream.
No, I think we're good. Yeah, we're good. I haven't known. I couldn't even tell.
I don't know. Just saying. Yeah. Just saying. Yeah. Just saying. Anyway. Let's, well, so Jim Jordan had that post today. Obviously, he was just kind of recapping, but FBIC 1717 notebooks, right? And this is kind of why I was talking about stack of note cards from Joe Biden's residence that included handwritten notes containing classified information that touched on sources and methods. Wasn't prosecuted, double standard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then, you know, we think about it. We think about if you go back to Durham, everything in Durham with what they uncovered with Obama,
mm-hmm.
what they uncovered all the way to the top. We know what Durham went through. Durham went through everything. Clearly shows at the report through the Durham case that Obama and all these guys are complicit in everything treasonous. Okay, nothing happens, right? A little bit of a drip. Drip mm-hmm. shows the people, shows the public. That was a big thing. Here we are today. Another 17 number, right? And then we have this whole thing going on with classified documents of Mr. Joey B. And I just find it interesting that they're not, obviously you're not expecting any type of prosecution or anything like that. I just don't understand, right? Maybe do understand. Is this where we're kind of headed? Because it's pretty late to pull Joey B, right? As of now, they just announced that he just won all delegates for the nomination. Okay. All right. So Biden is the one. God bless their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Biden is the one, right? It's too late to pull him. But Chris, what happens after all this stuff that keeps coming out? What if something happens to the old Biden? How does that work?
Well,
let's say a month or two before election mm-hmm. time. How does that work?
Well, the DNC passed a rule that once they've had their convention, and I think we kind of theorize that they'll have their convention. Once they make him the nominee, if something were to happen between then and the election and he can't run, the DNC passed the rule that basically they get to pick who replaces him.
Right. I mean, I get that, but at that point, like, I feel like this is how it's going to happen. Like, Biden's going to get pulled
mm-hmm.
against their will
mm-hmm.
just before the election, and they're going to scramble. I mean, talk about that'd be a massive landslide, because I don't care who you throw in there. Think of how much time you wasted.
Right.
You're not going to have any chance.
On a criminal. A pedophile criminal. Amazing.
Like, what are they going to do? Throw new scum in there?
Oh, they would get torched, and they know it.
Well, that's just it.
There's nobody. There's nobody they can throw in there at this point. I firmly believe they have nobody. That's why they're forcing Biden on everybody, because they're like, this is all we got.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go with Michelle Obama. That ain't going to do it. You can't go with Newsom. That ain't going to do it. You can't go with Hillary. That ain't going to do it.
But you gotta got to go with nobody. Someone.
Right, they got nobody though. Now, of course, for the blue no matter who crowd, they could throw Mickey Mouse up there as a Democrat and they'd vote for him. You know what I'm saying? They don't care. They could literally have a guy get in front of the microphone like, yeah, I'm a pedophile, but I'm your candidate. And they'd be like, blue no matter who. Woo! Woo!
Blue no matter who.
Yeah, Nikki Haley. That's a good one, Hicks. We kind of floated that. We've kind of theorized that a couple of shows ago. Was like that Nikki Haley's kind of out there. We all know that the people who voted for her in the primaries were Democrats primarily. So I could see them trying to. I already saw one guy, some political pundit out there, said that Joe Biden should replace Kamala Harris with Nikki Haley as his running mate and call it the unity ticket.
Unity. Unity. Oh, man. I just think it's going to be a complete disaster, no matter what, for them. Like, I mean, even if you go through Kim's prophecy with the time of two presidents, he says, I will expose and reveal things in the spring, right? As we move into this next election with like honor and glory or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if the election does come to pass, I mean, I could be wrong, obviously. I just don't see Joe Biden as making it that far. I mean, this whole hearing today was about questioning the dude's sanity, like how senile he is, how old he is, how he doesn't remember anything. And again, this whole report was just to show the people that, yeah, there is a double standard.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, he also did not exonerate Biden, you know?
Nope. He made that very clear. It's my time, Israel. It's my time. I'm reclaiming my time because you just correct me on my lie that I tried to tell the American people, that Jayapal lady, that was the best. He goes, I did not exonerate him.
But this is
I did not share classified information. I did not share it with my ghostwriter. I did not. Guarantee you did not.
We also identified other recorded conversations during which Mr. Biden read classified information aloud to his ghostwriter.
And that was CNN. That was the CIA network. You don't think they're going to pull the rug on this dude eventually? They're going to pull the rug on him.
They're going to pull the rug. They're definitely going to pull the rug. I like I said, even if it's against their will, I don't, you know, someone's going to pull it.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
Not only did we find out that he discussed classified information with his ghostwriter, we found out today that the ghostwriter tried to delete the audio files where Biden was openly giving out classified information.
He deleted a little bit.
But kept the transcripts, right? Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of good info in the, again,
for those that need to hear it.
Oh yeah, Matt Gaetz. This was fire.
Listen, we conducted a thorough, impartial, and fair investigation, and we were very, very concerned with getting to the bottom of all the relevant questions relating to the recovered documents.
Sir, did you look into the fact that the Chinese were floating the place where this guy was keeping the documents unsecure? Yes or no?
Congressman, to the extent that we identified evidence that was relevant and significant to our investigation, we put it in our report.
Okay, well, it seemed relevant to me, maybe not to you. Another thing that seemed relevant to me is this ghostwriter, right? So the ghostwriter purposefully deletes this evidence that seems to be like show culpability of Biden's crimes, and you don't charge him. Why did you not charge the ghostwriter with obstructing justice and deleting evidence?
Well, for a number of reasons that are laid out in the report, but in brief, Congressman, yes, when we interviewed the ghostwriter, he did tell us, and I'm trying to get the exact language, that one of the things on his mind, one of the things he was aware of, was that I had been appointed special counsel and was conducting an investigation.
Right, so he didn't, just so everybody knows, the ghostwriter didn't delete the recordings just as a matter of happenstance. Ghostwriter has recordings of Biden making admissions of crimes. He then learns that you've been appointed. He then deletes the information that is the evidence, and you don't charge him.
That is reflected in the report, and one of the reasons...
Like, what does somebody have to do to get charged with obstruction of justice by you? If deleting the evidence of crimes doesn't count, what would meet the standard?
So, Congressman, as we state in the relevant chapter of the report, one of the things that Mr. Zwanitzer did not delete was transcripts of the recordings that he had created that included inculpatory evidence relating to Mr. Biden.
Oh, so if you destroy some evidence but not other evidence, that somehow absolves you of the evidence you destroy? Here's what I see. Zwaniger should have been charged, wasn't. Biden and Trump should have been treated equally. They weren't. And that is the double standard that I...
Israel, flag on the play. I'm going to take one from Dan Bongino. Flag on the play.
Flag on the play.
So Brian Cates
explained
this very, very brilliantly. So number one, can a sitting president be indicted?
No.
So Robert Hur, they can scream all they know. There you go. He can't try that to me. Right on cue, we will win. Yeah, can't. So
Correct.
If you can't charge the president with what he did, you can't charge his you can't charge one and not the other. They're all guilty of the same thing. So
again,
Robert Hurst said it without saying it. Like, you guys know I can't charge him, right? All I can do is tell you all the crimes he did and then Kaputsky, because I can't charge a sitting president. So again, like you said, Israel, it's meant to open your eyes. It should piss you off as an American. Okay. It should piss you off royally. It should openly show that there is a two-tiered justice system, that there that one party gets treated more favorably than the other, that there's a double standard in our justice system. Robert, that's why I'm saying Robert Hur did everything short of charging Joe Biden, just like John Durham did in the
Durham
report.
He laid it all out. And said, I did not exonerate him. He was clearly showing you everything. But like you just said, you charge him one, you charge him everybody. Well, we're not going to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, he did what he did.
Yep.
Like, I understand, like, why he didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, like, you wonder, does Congress know?
No, they know. They have to know.
I know.
Because if they could indict a president, they would have indicted Trump while he was in. That's why that rule exists. So the opposite political party can't run roughshod and indict presidents because they don't like them. Right. That's why we have that safeguard in place. It is 100%.
Just for the drip. Just for the drip.
But if you're a Democrat voter and you can look somebody straight in the eye and say Trump deserves to go to jail and not Joe Biden, you're a fraud. Meanwhile, Trump is protected by the Presidential Records Act. Trump had every right to declassify anything he wanted to and keep it in his person at Mar-a-Lago with Secret Service, with a SCIF, with everything required to store classified information, not the vice president or Senator Biden, who took classified information without authority and then openly discussed it with a ghostwriter for a book he was going to be paid $8 million for. Who, again, like Matt Gaetz pointed out, one of the places the documents were at is bankrolled by China.
This is one of my favorites. See if I can find it. I did have it in here. Shoot. I don't know what I did with it. The one where he just goes down the list. You know what I'm talking about? He's like, is this where it was? Yeah.
That was the very first dude. That was the very first line of questioning. He's like, was found in his home, was found in his garage, was found. Yeah, this is the greatest.
Classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
In the major, and his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute?
Correct.
Mr. Hur, classified documents were found at
again.
Like, I mean,
where didn't they find any documents that Joe Biden had? Good Lord. Meanwhile, again, Trump had them at his home in a skiff, locked up with Secret Service all over that place.
Mm-hmm.
Not in your garage behind a Corvette. Trump didn't openly discuss classified information with a ghostwriter for a book he was being paid $8 million for.
Right. I mean, you can even, like, even the exchange between him and Schiff, you could tell Schiff is fighting the theater.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like, why did you say it like you did in the report talking about, you know, that it would cause this firestorm, the way he called him, like an old man, you know, that the jury wouldn't convict him, stuff like that. He's like, this is election interference. So Schiff's not even like fighting the fact that, you know, what Biden did. He's fighting how he worded it in his report. Because if you read the report, clearly shows what Biden did. So he's like, well, you shouldn't have said it like that. He's like, and Robert's like, well, I'm not going to say it how you want me to say it to feed your side of the politics for how it favors you, you know, like they're just going back and forth. It's just a constant shift, just panic mode the whole time.
Yep.
And then Robert just basically stood up to him and said, dude, shut up. You know, like you're wrong. I can do whatever. I'm the special counsel.
This was nothing more. I mean, this was an eye opener. If you are somebody who had no idea what Joe Biden did, it was very eye opening. I will tell y'all this, and I know a lot of you know this. Every president does what Trump did with documents, except most presidents, they leave office and then they create their libraries and then they hide all of their criminal documents that they take with them when they leave the White House, like Obama and Bush and Clinton. The whole purpose for their presidential libraries is so they can hide all of the things they did nefariously while they were president. That is the entire purpose of their presidential libraries, is to hide their crimes. Why do you think Obama, once he got into office, locked down all of his birth records and everything else?
Dude, man, he did everything. He got people killed.
Right.
he hid that way. He killed anybody attached to it.
Yep. Yeah. So we all know the documents that Trump had are the ones that will crucify every single one of these people. That's why they were after him.
Right.
So today was nothing more than confirmation. And Robert Hurd did everything. He did everything short of charging Biden. And for him to come out and use the excuse, which we all know is not, that's not why he didn't charge him, because he was too old. That was just a knife in the back going, this dude is that, old,
exactly,
dumb,
yeah,
and can't remember anything. He could never charge him in the first place, because you can't charge a sitting president. And you don't think it's, again, if y'all really don't think all of this is planned and that you're watching all exposure, you're watching D-Class happen right before your eyes. It's just in a different format.
This is D-Class. Just in a 100%. Different
format. Because the fact that you don't think it's by coincidence that they raid Trump's home and then 3 months later, we find classified documents in Biden's house and the pen and all that comes out at the same, literally right after they did it to Trump. You don't think all that was by design in order to show you the two-tiered justice system and the double jeopardy that there is in this country? Or, I think I said that right. I mean, I can understand. I get mad. I still get angry, and I know we're watching, we're meant to see all this. But.
Well, I understand that. Like obviously, there's different aspects of the movie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see D-Class, you can see that it's clearly theater. But, I mean, while this is all unfolding, we still have a lot of problems going on throughout the nation. Throughout, you know, we got border issue. We can now have this new alert.
We're about to get invaded.
We're about to get invaded by some cannibals. I mean,
unreal.
Again, Matt Gaetz was in that one too.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're anticipating the migration of people from Haiti, of the Haitians, because their government is no longer there, and they're saying that they're potentially bringing the Navy. You think they're going to bring in the Navy? If they try?
I don't.
I mean, look what the military's done for the southern border.
Exactly. No, I don't think the Navy, they'll be like, all right, then. They're too busy. We're too busy worrying about Ukraine than our own country, right?
Seriously. This is additional
300 million.
So I heard the 300, right? And this one was posted an hour ago.
Yes.
The Biden administration has announced plans to allocate additional $126 million to Ukraine.
Because he found money from cost-saving measures.
That's part of the 300.
Yeah.
So it's $126 million through through the Foreign Assistance Act. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
remember when Trump did that? They skewered him when he took money from the military to build the border wall. You know, when they wouldn't give him, my man just wanted $5 billion to build a wall, and they fought him. Yeah, and now you understand why, right? I hope it really is starting to make sense. Like, I really, and I'm not talking to those of you who've been with us forever. I'm talking about the ones who are just now starting to open their eyes to how corrupt their country is. What have we learned just this last week? That they've been using, we all know they use the census. I had somebody at work today, had no idea. They had no idea this was going on. Since the 70s, they do the census, and the census is how they decide how many representatives we get to send up to the swamp out of each state based on how many people are in your areas. So that's why states like California and all the get all these people they can send up to the swamp, right? So they use the census, and we find out in that census they have been counting illegal immigrants since the 70s against the U.S. population. And then in 2019, Trump simply wanted to add a question on the census that says, are you a legal resident of the United States? And they fought him. They screamed. They read like little demons up there in D.C. The liberals were having a fit. It's racist it's racist to ask if you're a citizen of this country when we count the population of said country.
Everything's racist, man.
Right? And now you're finding out that they've been doing it for a very long time. And now they just sent 10 million people into your country in the last 3 years. And now they're talking about giving them amnesty. And they want to register them to vote. And they want to let them serve in your police departments and in the military. And yet you're still going to have these blue hairs out here screaming blue no matter who. And that's why, when half of your country is openly advocating for the destruction of your country, you got a real problem on your hands.
Like, I just don't understand it. I mean, within the last 2 days, including today, we found money. We're giving it to Ukraine. Not only that, but we're sending over 100 million something weapons to Haiti.
And we're sending weapons.
Yeah, well, when we're sending literally weapons, cash, said everything to Ukraine, but also to Haiti. But Haiti doesn't have a government anymore.
Nope, Prime Minister
as their PM just resigned. So the gangs are now in control, and now we're sending them aid.
Barbecue is going to get some. The gang leader over there calls himself Barbecue or something. He's going to get Barbecue. Millions of dollars from the American government. That's amazing.
I just don't understand. You can't
make this stuff up.
Meanwhile,
you just can't.
People are struggling here.
Yeah.
It blows my mind, man.
How can any sane person in their right mind be okay with what is going on in this country? And with that, how could any sane person, they always try and blame Trump for everything that's going wrong in the country. It's amazing. Dude hasn't been there for 3 years and they're trying to blame everything on him. And we're sending more weapons to the Ukraine when your own military told you we're having trouble replenishing stuff here. And how many times have we told you?
Yeah.
How many times have we told you on this podcast that prophecy, what does prophecy say? And the people will become very afraid and they will say we have no protection.
We have nothing.
Yeah.
Everything's been depleted, it feels like. You know?
While at the same time, you're finding out that governments have these drones that can fly around with lasers on them and they can burn anything at will they want to.
Lasers. Laser. I call it the Death Star. No, but seriously, I know. And that's another thing that people find just that tech's out there, you know? I mean, think about it, man. You've seen all those videos of the Paradise fires. You've seen all the people. I don't know if you guys remember those videos. People seeing blue lights coming down.
Yep.
Like, we know what happens in all these fires. A lot of people don't even believe that this tech is real. I'm like, dude, this stuff is on naval ships.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all out there. It's like, it's invisible. Did you ever use a PEC 15? Chris?
What? A what?
A PEC 15?
Uh-uh.
No?
No.
The lasers you put on your rifle?
No.
I mean, it's just, it's got red and green. You know?
I was in the Air Force.
Red is, oh, that's right. But no, I mean, red, you can see it, you know, normal laser, right? And if you flip it to green, you can only see it through night vision. It's invisible to the naked eye if you don't have night vision. So, I mean, like, it's the same exact thing, same exact concept. You're just adding heat. Just adding heat.
That's it.
So, I don't understand why people think this tech is crazy. Like, that it's so out of this world.
They've had it for so long. And I know we've discussed this at length on this show. If the government is, if they're telling you about it now, if you're starting to really see it, but they've had it for so long.
So long.
They're 100 years ahead of where we are right now, if not more, technology-wise. And they hide it from you because it would benefit you, and they can't let anything benefit you because then you won't be slaves. They need you to remain chattel.
Mm-hmm.
You are the chattel for the slave masters, right? We are the ones out here producing all the resource and everything for these global elitists who run the world. We're the chattel, and they keep us well-fed and vaccinated, too. It's amazing, huh?
I know. I seen a meme of it's like people stuck in traffic, and then the one next to it was them herding sheep into, and I was like, do you see the difference?
Same. Yep. And again, yeah, we're not saying any of this stuff to fear monger. We have nothing to be afraid of, man. I don't fear anything because I know that God is going to save this country. I firmly believe that. I'm not worried about it. When we discuss these things like this, it's so we can open, the goal is to open people's eyes. People need to see it because seeing is believing. And, you know, what you got there?
Well, Chris, this is the book that you sent me that I wanted to read. This is the Heavenly Visitation one, right? And I read almost all of it today.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that obviously we know, but a big thing that this book focused on that was something I really needed to hear because I need a form of correction of where my mind was at, of what I am prophesying daily over my life, over others' lives. And this reading this gave me a big correction. And obviously none of us are perfect and we continue to try and do the best we possibly can, but the power of words, man. And one thing that really stands out to me in this book is, you know, when Kevin has his visitation, and I've heard it before, but he says in the book again, and he says, the one thing that Jesus first said to him when he met him was, you will be held accountable by everything that comes out of your mouth. And he says, when I said that, I meant it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the power of words, right? Yeah, it's tough, especially when you have a very sarcastic vocabulary. See, that's something we got to correct, because even if we're being sarcastic, words are still words, right?
Yes,
words are still words. And I haven't held myself accountable to everything that comes out of my mouth, and you know, it's hard. It's hard to, something just comes out and you're like, shoot. You know,
dang,
we got to continue to rebuke these things. But man, this is something I need a big correction on, and it's I would encourage everybody to, this is Kevin Zadi's book, Heavenly Visitation. This is the one I've been waiting to read, waiting for Chris to send me.
It's been waiting a long time.
But
you said to throw that in there, didn't he? Everybody.
Yeah.
Said
to throw that. What is that is book? I'm holding it up. This is Heavenly Visitation, Kevin Zadi. I'll just hold it up for you if you want to look at it, if you want to look it up, maybe go get it. But it's a very powerful book. There's so many good things in here that, you know, it just, like I said, it's a really big correction for me.
We're going to give two of them away tonight, later in the show, is.
Right on. Right on. But that, mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, obviously moving forward, we go through the exposure, we go through everything, but our tongue is a rudder and it does have the power of life and death. And one of the other things he says in the book is, if our words happened, everything you said, if everything you said happened right after you said it, you'd watch what you say, right? Well, think about it, though, because they do. They just don't happen right away. So we prophesy life or death on our own lives. Should we not be taking it into account for what? Like maybe take it into account like it does happen right away. Because then it would change the whole aspect of how we think, how we talk. And I just think it's really good. I really encourage everybody to go get it. Kevin Zadi, everything this guy, you know, does, I feel like changes my life.
A good point. Somebody made a good point in the chat.
What's that?
Did it come at the right time? The book?
It did. It came at the perfect time.
Isn't that amazing? You're welcome. I'm just kidding.
Who said that?
Yeah, who said that? Who gave him that ammunition? Who did it? Who did it? I'm just saying, you know?
That's why this morning, because like I've always, or the prayer in the beginning of the show, you know, we talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is for you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you sit in unforgiveness, it's gonna ruin your life. So does bitterness. And so a lot of these things, like unforgiveness, just a little bit of bitterness, you know, maybe you're holding on to something small that you may think of small. But it's actually being a roadblock for you stepping into something new. And, you know, I had to do a little self-reflection of like maybe some little things that I've been holding on to that I haven't fully let go of that, you know, I kind of thought I was over. But if you look deep down in your spirit and where your heart is at and look for those little things. And I found a couple little things that I felt like I was holding on to. And I want to release that bitterness, because if we're supposed to be seated with Christ and moving into what he wants us to, into the kingdom, and we're believing in our heart that we've already received it, well, all these things shall be given to you. So if things aren't being given to us, are we looking inside to see what might be hindering it? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, and right. And even like in my life, refusing to forgive people, like it does, it holds you back. It's an anchor on you, not the person you don't forgive.
Right.
It's an anchor on you.
Right.
You know, it is what it is. Whoever wronged you in your life, I don't mean it like that. I mean, whoever wronged you in life, whoever, you know, caused the bitterness, by you dwelling on that, you're just holding yourself back, man. And I learned that lesson the hard way. And I held on to a lot of things that nearly cost me my life because they just pulled me down into a deep, dark hole that I almost didn't climb out of. all because, and I use that bitterness and that anger, like I've told y'all a million times, as a scapegoat for my own poor choices.
Right.
And it kept me from growing. And you know what's crazy is no matter how much we do to better ourselves, I think Iz will agree on this one. Like, I still always feel like there's more I could be doing to better myself. And it's, and right, some days it weighs on you because, and so it's a give or take. It can be good or bad feeling that way, but
yeah.
I always feel like there's more I could be doing. And I know Israel feels that one because that's what I hear from Iz all the time. It's like, I feel like I should be doing more, and me too. And then there are a lot of days I'm like, am I even worthy of all these wonderful things that keep happening to me? Like, you have to, because it's just weird. Because you're always like, could I be doing more? I can't, what more can I do? Because, but I don't see anything wrong with that, because sometimes feeling that way can make me sad. And then sometimes like, yes, because as long as I feel that way and I refuse to settle for and get, I don't want to be comfortable. Like I do, but I don't.
No.
If that makes sense.
I know exactly what you feel. I know exactly what you feel. I know exactly what that means. Like you don't want to be stuck in like just this is it. This is my routine. You know, everything's average. But you also like you want to do more. It's a tough thing to explain.
It really is. It's like this constant state of but what do we say?
You don't want that feeling of like always being down.
I don't want to be stagnant either, though.
But you don't want to be comfy.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's some people like, I want to be comfortable. I'm like, yeah, to an extent.
To an extent. Like,
yeah.
You know, like they say, like, I'm not saying like money buys happiness or anything like that. But I'm saying, but I think most people, yeah, but it's definitely a good start, right?
Yeah,
I think that people would feel a lot better about their growth, about their journey, if there wasn't the financial struggle. Because I feel like most people, I shouldn't say most people. I know I've been there where you tried to grow because of the gospel is everything, right? It's not only healing, prosperity, it's growing, it's being seated, working in the supernatural as a normal. You know what I'm saying? So if we can grow and walk in that supernatural realm, especially financially, and not feel like you have a timetable, you know, like you have to get to a certain point or something like that. See, that's the thing. You know, like Kevin always say, you don't need 30, 40, 50 years of ministry to get to a spot to be operating in the supernatural. Like, I know I'm not fully there. I know, Chris, we're still on that journey, but we've seen supernatural things happen. Like for us, for the podcast, for the community, we've already seen it. So we know that God is operating, and I'm just trying to get us, myself, and Alphavets, the community. I don't want to have any roadblocks in my life that may be hindering not only Alphavets, but like the show, but the community as well. Like, I don't want to, if we're going to, and I'm not saying we necessarily need to be in a leadership position, but if we're, you know, Kevin always said, maybe someone's breakthrough maybe you're the next breakthrough. Like, maybe something is waiting for you. Like, people are always waiting for something to happen to them, but maybe it's you. Maybe you're the answer. So what if you're the answer to something else? So do you want to hinder that by having roadblocks and pull people back because of your spiritual laziness, I guess, of not pushing forward? Like, see, I don't want that. I don't want roadblocks.
Nope.
And that's why when I read this book today, I was like, ooh, I need to hear this, because I know my tongue's rudder. I know that our words are powerful, but dang it, I needed that reminder, because I have been, there are little things that I looked deep down into that may have been roadblocks. And so I got rid of them. I asked God for forgiveness, to get rid of any type of bitterness, because I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want to ponder on these little things that could have stopped, you know, someone's breakthrough.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And Paula 579, she had a good comment. She said, let me go back and find it. She said, it's a daily thing to forgive me. That was one of my hardest things. It's a daily thing to forgive herself.
Oh.
That is one of the, see, that's, that was my hardest thing. But that's what the evil one does, right? He's in your ear, again, saying you'll never be, that's it. You keep doing what you're doing because you've already done wrong. You'll never be anything more than that. And number one, you have to learn to forgive yourself. Roll your shoulders back, dust them off, and keep moving forward. And number two, you have to love yourself. I am a firm believer. If you can't love yourself, if you can't, and I used to hate who I looked at in the mirror every day. I despised them. I despised myself, but I kept doing all the wrong things and making all the poor choices. And it compounded over and over and over again to the point I was ready to just see ya. So if you can't love yourself, and that's why so many people, we get in these bad, toxic relationships with people. And it, you know which ones I'm talking about? You break up, you get back together, you break up, you get back together. It's just this constant cycle.
Yeah.
And it's almost, and then the relationship becomes like an addiction. And a lot of times in those kind of relationships, it's because one or the other or both, they don't even love themselves. And if you can't love yourself and forgive yourself, you're never going to be any good to anybody else. You're never going to be able to, right. If you can't love yourself, you're not going to be able to love somebody else. You have to be happy with the skin you're in. And that's why God is so important in my life. Because I know he loves me. I know he's taught me to love myself and to keep striving to be the best version of myself I can be. But you're right. That book you got at the right time, because that one too made me realize like how powerful our words are, not just for other people, but for our own lives. You know, for our own life, we can be our own worst enemy. Most of the time we are. When things are going bad in our lives, we're our own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And so yes, forgiving ourselves and loving ourselves is probably the hardest thing for a lot of people to do.
Right. And yeah, like one of the big things, I know a lot of people deal with it, is especially in this day and age of everything social media, right? Like everybody's got a social media. A lot of people don't even like social media and they still have one anyway because they feel like they have to. You know, I got rid of Facebook like, 6 years ago? I deactivated my Instagram. I have a Twitter, a Telegram, and Rumble. That's it. Well, I have a TikTok too. But I barely even use that because videos don't stay up. But one thing I had to get over, because this is what a lot of people do, is they go down the road of comparison. For one, everything's fake nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, people ain't posting their rough times on Instagram, on Facebook. They post happy pictures. It's like everything's a competition.
Mm-hmm.
And people see someone else's. And I know people, I've had conversations with people. They look at someone else's account and they say to themselves, why isn't my life like that? And they start comparing. And I started doing it in the beginning when we first started the podcast. I started comparing myself to others. And I couldn't see myself growing past what they were doing. And I felt God kept saying to me, why are you comparing your life, what I have in store, to someone else's? Their will, my will for their life is not my will for your life. You know? So I personally, I got rid of all that because I went down the road of comparison on and it would make me depressed for years, like on Facebook. You just sit there and compare to other people's lives. Next thing you know, you're going down this bad road that leads to negative thoughts of this person's got this tremendous life. And hey, I honestly think getting rid of Facebook and Facebook 100% was one of the best things I've ever did for myself. I don't miss it. I don't miss it at all. Never will. I'll never get one again. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, man. See that? Israel.
What?
Can we talk about, switch gears for a second here?
Sure.
So I tried to go back through my Twitter to find it, but right after the Republican Party got rid of George Santos, I said, these clowns. Now, I want to remind you first of what Kim Clement said. I know we've said it a million times, but he said that he was going to pierce both of these organizations because he's dissatisfied with what comes out of both parties. But he said he would shake the Democrats and shake the Republicans even more. And he said it would be unsettling for the Republicans because you're being given the gift of vision again with what happened today with Robert Hur, with Durham. Everything has been eye-opening about what's going on in your government, okay? So we lost. They voted out George Santos, but allowed Bob Menendez, who just was in court again today for another indictment, who's still serving in the United States Senate, but they booted out George Santos, who hasn't been convicted of anything yet. And all these Republicans started, I said, here's what's going to happen. This is what I believe in my heart is going to happen, and because it is going to be unsettling. Is you're watching these people drop like flies. We are slowly losing that majority, right? I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent conservative. But you're slowly losing that majority in Congress. The Republicans are. And then here we go again today. Ken Buck, Rhino Ken Buck, who said he was going to wait. He was going to retire at the end of his term. Decides he's out March 22nd. All right, so slowly all these Republicans have been jumping. Look at all of them that are not going to run for re-election. Okay, are we tracking resignation? Are we tracking all this stuff? Because you're meant to, you should be tracking and paying attention. But I firmly believe between now and November that they're going to lose that majority. They're going to lose the majority. Biden still hasn't been impeached. Nothing has happened. They've absolutely done nothing but show the American people a lot of truth. There's been a lot of things we've learned, but nothing has come from it other than people's eyes have been opened if you're paying attention to it. But I believe we are one seat. They're one seat away from losing that majority and then you will have Hakeem Jeffries, Mr. Mega. Extreme MAGA Republican, Mr. Dollar Store Obama.
$1.99 Obama.
You're going to have him as the lead. I firmly believe the Democrats are going to gain control of the House and the Senate between now and November. What do you think they're going to do? You think you might see some gun control bills get pushed through? Yeah, they're going to try it. Why? I'm just saying. And I'm not saying I'm not saying this to scare anybody. I'm telling you, if we're going to go by unsettling, shaking, there's going to be a shaking. It's already been shaken. But they're clearly showing you the sign. You think
that's going to be after this election?
No. At the rate we're going is we're one seat away between now and November. How many Republicans have dropped out? That's what I'm saying. It's almost like they're doing it on purpose, is what I'm saying.
Right. At the same time, I mean, do we believe that? I mean, is everything going to go according to plan?
No, that's what I'm saying. But if I'm looking for this kind of event that's really going to shake up everything, you don't think that would? The Republicans losing their majority after the Democrats are out here screaming of all the things they want to do. We're going to ban assault weapons. Well, everything will become an assault weapon then.
Oh, yeah.
They're telling you. So money to Ukraine, all this. Imagine if they got control and they got to send endless amounts of cash over to the Ukraine. I'm pretty sure that would collapse the dollar really, really, really quick. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you have nothing to be afraid of, first and foremost. Okay. I don't say this to freak anybody out. I'm just telling you, let's all call it how we see it. They're clearly purposely giving up their majority. Why? Is it probably because both parties are two sides of the same coin? Maybe the American people need to see that neither one of these parties represents the American people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. One man does, as far as I'm concerned right now. There's some good ones up there. I'm not going to lie. There's some good ones. And I believe there's good ones on both sides. They're all being manipulated. They're blackmail. They're puppets right now. But all of this is meant to awaken a sleeping giant, which is us, the American people.
Absolutely.
We are the enigma in all of this. We're the ones, like I told y'all, we have to meet God halfway. I don't know how much more people have to be shown before they rebuke this and they stand against the principalities of darkness that rule this world, because they're showing you who they are. When do we show them who we are?
Do you think that, hypothetically, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, okay? Hypothetically, if they stole it in November.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At that point, do you think that people just say it's time to overthrow?
I don't know. Might. That could be the one. But I have a feeling, man, we are in for one wild ride.
I think it's going to be crazy. I think I don't think that's going to happen. I know so many black pillars out there say it's going to get stolen. We're all going to die. I rebuke all of that. I'm just saying, I think it's going to be quite crazy leading up to it. You guys heard me in the beginning of the show. I think that Biden's going to get pulled no matter what. And I honestly think that Trump is going to win in a massive landslide like you've never seen before. I really, if it gets there, mm-hmm. If it doesn't, I could see the going a different route, a little unconventional, you know, leading into November. I still believe that we're going to see some type of collapse of the U.S. dollar before then. I think it has to happen under Biden's account.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're going into something new, and if everybody believes, especially like the prophecies, if people believe that we're going into something new and Trump gets in, there's only one way that Trump brings the gold standard back, is just by announcing it. Like, that's the only way, right? Because you can't continue down the path of a fiat controlled system. Mm-mm. in a new type of era. In something new, God is not going to bring you to something new and let you be under fiat control.
Nope.
That's their biggest weapon, is the fiat system. So I do see things happening before it.
Right.
But yeah.
And the thing is, like, when you say that theory to people that they're going to give up their majority, I just want to ask everybody in here, what has that majority done for you thus far?
Mm-hmm.
So why worry about it? I'm just telling you, I think that to me, that looks like what their plan is. And okay, let's go. Let's light this candle, because what has that majority done for us up till this point? Nothing. Absolutely nothing other than expose a lot of stuff. We have seen tons of evidence that these people are criminals, that Biden is a criminal, that Barack Obama is a criminal, and all the media does is continue to cover for them. You're seeing the media expose themselves every day. So if we lose the majority, Who freaking cares? To me, that's what I'm saying. This is not my plan. This is his. I'm not worried about it. I'm just telling you, if you read the tea leaves, it looks like that's exactly where we're heading. They're slowly but surely just losing. I mean, they had what, a 10-seat majority, and they're down to one.
Mm-hmm.
One.
Well, yeah. Even like someone said that, Julie said, don't look to man to save you from another election. For one, I have never, like, I've said, if the election gets here, I'm going to be there voting for Trump, right? But even after Trump gets in, reinstated, whatever you want to look at, I am not looking at Trump as the changer of my life. No. I've already started that. And it's because of Jesus. Like, I truly believe we can all thrive in the midst of this. But as a nation, I don't think we can survive under fiat. I don't think it can grow into something under fiat. For one, the dollar is worthless, right? The dollar has no purchasing power. So right there, we got a problem. So right there, it shows you we need something new. But leading up to all this, God can still bring you different avenues of revenue through multiple different ways. He can pay off your debt in certain things before a massive debt jubilee. Like, we don't have to wait for someone. He's waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this comes back to speaking words and all that stuff. So, again, whenever Trump gets back in, whenever God puts him back in, so be it. Up until then, even then, I will always trust in Jesus first and foremost, and Jesus will always be my go-to, you know, in trouble. I'm not calling up Trump and being like, hey, I need some help.
Nope.
No, I call Jesus.
I got him on speed dial. Got him on speed dial. Direct line. Isn't that amazing? The most important person in the entire world, and you have a direct line to him every single day.
In the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You have a direct line to the creator.
Yep, every day. And I posted on Twitter today. I said, only God can save this country now. And it is only God.
I agree.
I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, if you look at the world right now, we need God now more than ever. More than ever. So that's where my faith, that's where it's at. I have no fear. I don't worry about this stuff. I watch it because it interests me, because, you know, I just look for, you know, I'm just reading the tea leaves, man. But I know that he's in control. And that the reason, again, why are you seeing all of this crap? Because the spiritual battle is waging and is manifesting here in the physical. That's what we're all witnessing right now. And these people, I will say it for a millionth time, they don't like to show what they're doing. They don't like you to see what they're doing. They like to operate in the shadows. And before you figure out what they're doing, it's too late. We can all clearly see their plan unfolding. But if you're paying attention, you can also see his.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that, you know, he wants acceleration in everybody's life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I truly believe, like, you know, we're always sitting here. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say us or anybody here in the community, but I see a lot is like, God hasn't done this for me yet. God is standing there with everything you need. This goes back to the little things. We got to look at our own lives and see what may be blocking us. The little things. Because, you know, the Bible says, if you don't forgive, well, he's not going to forgive. You know, mm-hmm. If we can't learn, why would he? Why would he do? So it's just like, if we can't get over bitterness, can't get over unforgiveness, well, you think he's just going to give you everything? If we can't learn to love, can't learn to do any of this stuff, have the learn these characteristics of him. See, it's a self-improvement, but we can accelerate these things. Like Kevin said, we don't need 30, 40, 50 years. We just need to Mark 11, 23 it. We need to believe. We need to believe that we have received, that we can cast these mountains into the sea, and they'll be done. We believe in our heart. Belief. Getting back to that childlike faith, you know?
Yep.
But we get so, there's so much disorder thrown at us each and every day that sometimes we lose sight and we fall to the evil one's narrative and forget of who's sure really in charge.
Do. We sure do. Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
I would like to give an ounce of silver away.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would. Okay. And then a couple of books. So, if you want some silver, look at this bad boy. She's a beaut. She's a beaut, Glock. You know what to do. I don't even got to say it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What did you, hold on, was it? Bo Pony was on yesterday, Flyover Conservatives, and they played the time was on a dual clock with you two. What? Sure would like to chat with those two one day. We met them in Vegas. Yeah,
Flyover Conservatives.
Yeah, what's up with that? No, the hodlers are starting this. Play that. We'll roll that minutes. Beautiful bean footage.
Are you looking for a guide through all the psychological operations that are happening throughout the world? You can get Session 1 and Session 2 of Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare, written by General Michael Flynn and Boone Cutler. You can go to alphabets.online and click the link for more info. You want some customized tumblers, coffee cups, or even some Alphabets tumblers? You can go to Harley's Doggy Dog World and use the Alphabets promo code. A variety of tumblers, coffee cups, etc. You can use the Alphabets promo code, see alphabets.online for more info. Introducing Manly Cans. Not only are the cans awesome and reusable, but there are a variety of packages built for you. Whether it's the carnivore can, the protein can, the coffee can, or the 6-gallon snackage can, Manly Cans are great for a gift, or if you want the ultimate snack attack. Family businesses and family is important. See alphabets.online for more info. You can go to mypillow.com/alphabets and use the Alphabets promo code and save up to 80% off. If you want some of the best sleep you'll ever experience, there are a massive range of items. Whether you're looking for smooth sheets that keep you cool, grab the Giza sheets. If you're looking for a MyPillow with cooling technology, grab the MyPillow 2.0. If you want to walk on a cloud, grab the MyPillow slippers. There are items for everyone in your family, yes, even your furry family members. Use the Alphabets promo code and save up to 80% off at MyPillow.com/Alphabets. If you're looking for some Alphabets gear to rep your favorite podcast, wink, wink, go to GodFirstGear.com and you can use the Alphabets promo code on everything in the store. Yes, everything. There are Alphabets hoodies, shirts, mouse pads, and more items to come as well. GodFirstGear.com for your official Alphabets apparel. Remember to use the Alphabets promo code. We have entered in one of the biggest bubbles in U.S. history. There are many liquidity issues across all banks, over the nation, and over the world. Between branches constantly closing and even some not allowing withdrawals, the money you make and for your retirement are not safe in the banking system. The market could explode at any given moment as the fiat system is reaching its expiration date. As longtime gold and silver advocates, we here at Alphabets have partnered with Midas Gold Group, the nation's number one veteran-owned gold and silver dealer specializing in gold IRAs. Whether you want to get precious metals or roll over your retirement into a gold IRA, look no further than Midas Gold. All you need to do is text the word Alphabets to 232-425, and they will take care of what you need.
Oh, yeah. They sure will. Midas is awesome.
They sure will.
FYI.
They're awesome.
Hixer NJ. Booyah. You just won an ounce of silver. All right. Now, I'm going to pick two people for a book. So if you want a book, I'm going to wait just a second. Hixer, woohoo, that's right. If you want a book, keep saying holla, and I'm going to pick two people. I got this awesome book. Again, all these things that we give away here, a lot of what we give away are people in this community who have donated. These books were donated to. It's an awesome book. Kevin Zadi.
It's so good. It's so good.
All right. You can keep it rolling. I got, oh, that's awesome. Too many kids. Too many kids. That's awesome. Too many kids. You got one of these. And here we go. They're rolling so fast. I'm going to have to slow this down because I can't. And where are they at? Somebody keep. All right. I'm going to have to stop it because I can't. My eyes can't function right now. And Donna Havens. Donna Havens.
Aspen girl, I'm going to send you a Tumblr.
Oh, snap. From I'm writing them down Barney's now, too, is.
Doggy Dog World. I already got
right them down. Okay, well, I'm writing them down, too, because.
Good. I like
gets
that.
Gets confusing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's chastised me enough, folks. I've taken what? Enough abuse. I've taken enough abuse from this man.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. What's the Tumblr look like? You know I like when you show. What, can oh, I yeah. see it? Yeah, sure. Let us see that. Show us.
This one's really cool. I mean, they're all cool. This one's got the chess pieces on it.
I like it. That is cool, man. Congratulations to all the winners. If you don't mind, email us soon, please, because we try and get these all mailed out when the week's over. Email us at alphavetsmedia@gmail.com. Give us your name, give us your username, and a place where we can send it to, please. And congratulations.
Aspen girl, if you're still here, I did pick you for the Tumblr.
Mm-hmm. Crystal, you're funny.
Crystal. You know he likes this.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it is a great time to be alive. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that you are living in one of the greatest times in human history where humanity awakened from their slumber and took back control of their world from those who wished to do them harm. That is going to happen. And you're all going to be a part of it, and you're all playing a role in it right now. It truly is amazing.
Harley said next batch of tumblers will be Alphavet's tumblers.
Whoop, whoop.
Sweet. Sweet.
Whoop, whoop.
What's up? Yeah, that's yeah. What's up. Obviously, each and every day, continue on your walk. Just keep getting closer to Jesus because, you know, we definitely all need it. I mean, we need it more than we know. We need to get back to our fundamentals, apostolic Christianity, childlike faith. So just keep walking, keep doing what we need to do. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for everybody for coming out. Oh, you got something
else? I just want to show one more thing, y'all. So whenever we send out silver books, anything, y'all are going to get a couple of these. Check these out.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't mind. Share them around town you're at. Stick them up on a corkboard somewhere. You'll find it. You know, if you go to a restaurant, whatever. But these are some cards that got our code right there. Scan and take you right to the podcast. So they're pretty cool.
Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. All right, y'all. Cool. Appreciate it. Love you guys. And we will see you guys.
On Thursday.
On the next one. Holla.
Holla.